In terms of looking at some of Jesus' teaching before that in the Sermon on the Mount and some immediately afterwards. So when Jesus spoke this word, he's just finished exhorting his followers not to be worried about anything, because our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask him, and he is able to provide for us. And this verse has had increasing meaning and significance for me. And I have, through seeking and stepping out and asking, experienced the gracious provision of God that is needed for life and for living. And I would like to use this opportunity to share a little bit of my story and link it also to some of the aspects of freedom in Christ as well. But when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, what do we mean by the kingdom of God? Well, in the Gospels, it talks about the disciples, Jesus encourages them to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God and heal all those who are ill. And what it then says in a couple of verses later is, so they went out and proclaimed the good news and healed those who were ill everywhere. So when the kingdom of God, the good news, is proclaimed, there's often a natural link to people being healed and set free. And certainly when the word is proclaimed, quite often we'll ask the people to come out if they do want prayer for healing. And even proclaiming the living of word of God through praise and through our prayers as well, because it's all based on scripture. And what happened? People were healed. People were delivered. People were set free. Because this is what Isaiah, the prophet, had prophesied. In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's just what happened. I've just finished reading a book by Tom Wright called Simply Good News. And in it, he argues that the church is not about giving good advice. It's about good news. Because why would we seek if we were just going to be given good advice? So my story has been, through this process of seeking, I've stepped out to seek more of the kingdom of God. And seeking the kingdom of God and stepping out often means spending time with God first. And I've been hugely encouraged by the testimony of others. So when Keith was telling us about CLAN, when I've heard about different ministers coming to preach, experiencing and setting up 24/7 prayer, those are all ways that we can put God first and seek. And as I've stepped out, I've been encouraged to reach out to others. But we can't do any of this without asking for help. And Mark was preaching last week about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help us when we step out and seek. And I think Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he does this great prayer where he prays that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So what did this stepping out and reaching out involve? Well, at Clan Lothian, one of the preachers was talking about knees being healed. And this was at a time where I'd prayed an awful lot for people to be healed and nothing had happened, and I was getting a bit disillusioned. But he was giving testimony of how that can happen. And he encouraged six young men to come out and sit out at the front. And he said, "Does anyone want to pray for healing?" And I immediately stepped out. I thought, it's now or never. And I asked for the help of the Holy Spirit. And amazingly and wonderfully, the man's knee was healed. And God is incredibly gracious. He knows I'm wired for feedback. And the young man kept saying to me as I was praying for him, "Everything feels really, really warm." And every single knee was restored. The other way that I stepped out was here, and it was when we were talking about hunting for treasure. And praying for healing or praying for others is part of my natural, the way I'm wired. And Mark was talking a bit about that last week as well in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, because sometimes it's in relation to the way that you may be wired and the natural abilities God's given to you. Other times it may be stepping completely out your comfort zone. Well, hunting for treasure was me completely stepping out my comfort zone, because we prayed, we asked for the Holy Spirit to reveal a few things to us about someone in the community of Gorebridge, and all I got was a man with a dog and pub. And Jackie came out with me, and we went down the hill, heading our way slowly towards Brunton's pub. And nothing had happened, because we were to ask the person and ask if they wanted us to pray for them. Got a little bit further, and we literally were standing outside the pub, and we turned and said to the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, does this mean we need to go in the pub?" And at that moment in time, a man appeared walking down the hill to Brunton's pub, a man who was quite disabled and a man who had physical issues, and we asked, "Can we pray for you?" And wonderfully, the man was incredibly open to hearing about Jesus, and he came to the service that evening. And that was one way that the Holy Spirit helping you can actually go beyond your natural abilities and the way you're wired. And why is that? Because I believe as we step out in faith, God graciously provides for us. And our faith is increased, and we glorify him. And Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven." And the fantastic news is that we only need a mustard seed of faith. There's no requirement to be fantastic first. Mike Endicott, a priest in Wales who talks extensively about kingdom healing, talks about car aerials and how sometimes when we pray for healing that a little bit of the discomfort has gone, and then the car aerial starts to rise a little bit, and we keep on praying and asking, and the car aerial keeps rising as that mustard seed of faith increases. And it's through the word of God being proclaimed, the worshiping him in a group setting quite often, our expectancy levels are raised to enable that to happen. So I believe this is Christ dwelling in us through the help of the Holy Spirit, working in and alongside us, and we see visible manifestations of the kingdom of God. The good news. And Jesus lays out the Lord's Prayer in the passage immediately before he tells us to seek the kingdom of God. And one of the things we prayed for this morning in the Lord's Prayer was, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we do need our Father's provision. So give us this day our daily bread. We can also be transformed and restored even when we're facing difficulties, because we all experience difficulties, we all experience temptations, patterns of unhelpful thinking and seeking the kingdom of God and putting that first and his righteousness can result in us being transformed. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount immediately precedes talking about seeking the kingdom of God, and the Beatitudes, which are spiritual conditions and attributes, in one of them he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And that's a wonderful promise. But what does he mean by righteousness? Martin Lloyd-Jones has talked extensively and really wrapped himself in the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about righteousness as deliverance from self, for which we all long, a desire to be right with God. You see, Jesus will never impose anything on us. Some of the Freedom in Christ testimonies that we've been hearing as I've gone back and dipped into Freedom in Christ again often are of people who've made a conscious choice because they have a longing to be set free. What's my longing? Dear friends, my greatest longing is deliverance from anxiety. And I know that there are triggers within me and within my character and personality that mean that in certain situations, I end up taking responsibility even when it's not my responsibility to take. I have a deep anxiety about getting things wrong and not getting things right. The thought of letting people down just really is a big anxiety for me. And then comes the panic when I have to go and seek reassurance because I doubt myself and I doubt my actions. But the good news is that when we seek and when we put God first and we ask for the Holy Spirit, Jesus is there interceding at the right hand of God. He's there to help us in our difficulties. And certainly I've been through the steps to freedom, and sometimes we may need additional help, which is where people will minister and pray alongside us, often with words of scripture, to enable us to be set free from the way we have viewed ourselves, which is completely different from the way that our dear Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ view us. We're the apple of his eye. Part of this process involves forgiveness. So it may be that we need to forgive ourselves or forgive others. And then when we do this through a series of steps, such as the steps to freedom, we experience God's gracious provision. And again, in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In Freedom in Christ, it talks about being set free from the world, the flesh, and the evil one. Because what happens sometimes is that our view of ourselves is not the view that God has of us. Because our security and our acceptance of who we are and our sense of significance is wrapped up in the way that Jesus and our Heavenly Father view us. And what happened with my anxiety, which really, a couple of years ago, my job went haywire. And I'd been so wrapped up in keeping my position at work, I'd been so wrapped up in personal achievement, that I hadn't realized what I was moving into to remain at the same band was actually against everything that I believed in as a person. And it really was through that process of taking a step back, asking for the help of the Holy Spirit, and also seeking Jesus' help and the help of many dear friends who walked alongside me, that I was actually, after a period of being off sick with stress and anxiety, I prayed that when I went back to work, that I would be able to walk with Jesus beside me and helping me. And when I went back to work, a position had made itself available, which meant I could go back into a lower band doing the things that bring absolute joy for me, which is teaching others, helping others, empowering others through education. And that brought with it a tremendous sense of freedom, because God gloriously provided for me, even though I went through a period of extreme stress and difficulty. It's no coincidence that freedom in Christ is called freedom in Christ, because in relation to freedom and ongoing freedom, Jesus tells us that he is the true vine, and we need to abide in Jesus, the true vine. And part of the way we can abide in him is through the living word of God and through prayer. Because again, thinking back to the kingdom of God and thinking back to the good news, proclamation and healing go hand in hand together. In Freedom in Christ, we're given cards with scriptures on. Quite often in prayer, when we've been praying for others, I give scriptures. So the process of proclaiming the living word of God is an active process where we step out in faith to not only believe, but act that the living word of God is true, whatever we may feel or our circumstances. Now this verse, two verses from Philippians, as I've asked friends for help, they've often sent me this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Many times I've looked at that verse and I've not really been able to proclaim it and live it out. But when we did conversations with God, we looked at reflection prayer, and I found that an incredibly helpful tool. Because what that involves is at the end of each day, asking the Holy Spirit to go through the day with you, thanking God for his wonderful provision. Because sometimes we're so caught up in things that have gone wrong, well, certainly I can be, or things that I perceive haven't worked as well as I wanted them to be, because I have a bit of a be perfect driver. We can actually see God working in our day, and we can celebrate successes together. But not only that, I ask, have I loved as Jesus loved? Have I not loved as Jesus loved? A little bit like the what would Jesus do scenario. And the wonderful thing is, we can ask for forgiveness then, but also we can take hold of those things that may cause us any lasting anxiety and take it for tomorrow. Because Jesus talks about, just before seeking first the kingdom of God, not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have enough troubles of its own. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says the Christ who takes you through today will be the same Christ tomorrow. He is changeless, everlasting, always the same. So you must not think about tomorrow. And I have found that a wonderful truth to hold on to. Just holding on to those things, knowing that Christ is going to be with me tomorrow. Because when Jesus talks about being the true vine, he says without him we can do nothing. And how often I've come to realize that as I've maybe stepped out and not asked for help. He also talks about in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What he means by poor in spirit are those who recognize their utter need and dependence on him. And you know, my friends, Jesus wants the very, very best for us. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So the things he's setting you free from, that process is because he wants the best for us. I remember the minister who talked in Clan, the one who went to heaven and came back, talked about an ongoing struggle with weight and how when she was with Jesus at the banqueting table, there was only healthy things there for her to eat. Alcohol induces anxiety in me. And yes, it's fine to have the odd glass of wine, but I know that it's been great on the days that I have or the weeks that I haven't had glasses of wine. I haven't seen that as a reward for me if I've had a difficult day, that it really helps because, dear friends, Jesus wants the very best for us. And this, I think, is the crux of freedom. We get kingdom perspective. Jesus says, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. One of the saddest stories on freedom in Christ is of a lady, a teenage lady at school, having the perception that she wasn't liked by her friends. She went to a school reunion and she found out they thought she was aloof and they thought she was absolutely fantastic. But to live with that perception all through her life. The good news is that we can get kingdom perspective. We can see how much we are valued and loved by Jesus and our gracious Heavenly Father. When I was getting the Sozo ministry, which is a ministry to help you, because I wanted to get to the roots of the anxiety, and dear friends together took me through statements to enable me to forgive, I had two pictures. One was a pair of glasses, and it was a pair of glasses where you've got the little bits that come out on top of the glasses. And that was Jesus reassuring me that he was going to give me perspective. Have any of you seen the film The Fantastic Four? And have you seen the doctor who has these long stretchy arms that can go under doors? And again, I had a picture of Jesus with these long stretchy arms stretching round me to reassure me that his love was sufficient for my needs. Why is righteousness, why is setting free important? Dear friends, James tells us the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So a longing to be set free and being made right with God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and as God provides, we can then become good news people ourselves. Tom Wright talks about good news people are people who are being renewed by the good news, people through whom the good news is bringing hope and healing to the world. We created that in our crafted prayer. It very much reflected that. And as we look forward to mission and the fun days ahead, then we need to be good news people to go out into Gorebridge and bring the good news to others. And dear friends, a word of comfort for any who are feeling too bruised to seek. I had a personal meltdown on Friday. Everything that I've talked about in terms of anxiety all went out the window. I forgot to ask God for help. I became hugely anxious. I went into my normal pattern of behavior about seeking reassurance, and I felt absolutely awful. But you know, as I put together this sermon, God wastes nothing, you see. He was using the very verses I'm preaching to you to bring me healing and comfort and reassurance that yes, I can put this behind me and move on again with him. Because in Isaiah 42, he says, a bruised reed he will not break, a flickering wick he will not snuff out. You see, if God's kingdom came the way of earthly kingdoms, by the way of force of arms and military victory, the weak and vulnerable will once more come off worst. But God does things the other way up, and we should all be thankful for that. In particular, those of us who struggle in our faith and discipleship should take heart from Isaiah's words here, applied to Jesus. He will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoldering wick. His task and his delight is to gently fan into flames what was smoldering, gently to strengthen and firm up the weak, bruised faith, hope, and love that we have at the moment. So as we looked taking communion this morning, as Tom Wright has said there, we can actually ask Jesus and the precious Holy Spirit for help. And what does Martin Lloyd-Jones say in relation to our Heavenly Father? He not only sees what's happening to you when you're taken ill, he not only knows when you're suffering bereavement and sorrow. Dear friends, he knows every pang of the heart. He knows every heartache. He knows everything. There's nothing outside his omniscience. He knows all about it in every respect, and he therefore knows our every need. From that, you need never be anxious. God is with you. He's your Father. Even an earthly father does this in measure. He's with his child doing everything he can for him. Multiply that by infinity, and that is what God is doing with respect to you, whatever your circumstance. Is it any wonder that the first part of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Are any of you still seeking that encounter with Jesus? Are any of you still at the point where you haven't yet invited Jesus into your life? Are any of you thinking that what you've done or who you are is just too big an obstacle for that to happen? Dear friends, I want to encourage you, because Jesus' death on the cross is the ultimate good news in person. God's gracious provision has made a way back to him for us through Jesus, because this is how we know love. He laid down his love for us. That love never fails. The thief on the cross had the encounter with Jesus. You see, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That relates to people who have been convicted of their sin. And what did Jesus do? He reached out when that thief realized that he was the one in need of forgiveness. And God graciously provided to him. What did he say? Today you will be with me in paradise. That love never fails. And any of you seeking to meet Jesus himself, he loves you abundantly and is waiting for you to reach out and seek him. In Isaiah, it tells us just that. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And you know, that is a prayer that we pray when we pray for healing, because it's Jesus' finished work on the cross that means if we thank him, if we say and pray that through your wounds we are healed, then we can be set free. We sung in the blood song, my favorite song. Who can wash away our sin? Who can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when we think of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," it is a good news prayer that we can pray if we want to become good news people and we want to bring the good news. And when we go into 24/7 prayer before our mission, then we'll be having some prayer stations with every bit of the Lord's Prayer for us to meditate and pray on. So if any of you this morning, dear friends, are seeking an encounter with Jesus, are seeking healing, hope, facing difficulties, want to be reassured that Jesus loves you, want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, many times I've asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and nothing seems to happen sometimes, but I've been prayed over, and gradually as I then pray and reach out to others, the prophetic giftings, the words of knowledge just naturally follow. If any of you are seeking to be filled, I just want to finish now in prayer. I just want to pray this prayer for you. Dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great provision for those of us who seek, even those who feel too bruised at the moment to even consider seeking. Lord Jesus, thank you that when you came on this earth, you never turned anyone away empty-handed. You went to the cross, and it's through your wounds that we are healed. You have made a way for us, and I pray that we can reach out this morning to you, that our wounds can be healed, that we can be set free and restored to realize and experience the unfailing love and peace that our dear Lord Jesus had for us. Amen.